Do I smell? Because I can smell myself from work, and I feel bad for you guys.
It's more of the same.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do I always smell?
I think I'm nose blind to you.
That's rude.
I always come up here stinking of something.
The last job
working
was
or at the gym.
The last job was, you can't get worse than that. Well, you probably could, but that was pretty bad. But this is a step in the right direction in terms of your post-work smell.
Get like,
it's not really, you know, it's not noticeable.
Get some like Axe body spray.
I should.
Well, spray up before you come.
It's more the diesel. I work with asphalt and they use diesel to like get the asphalt off. And I always get the diesel on my pants.
Not the only diesel in your pants, right, Ted?
That's right, man.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. I'm Bo Oliver, joined here today with Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey, and Teddy, and we are here to talk about the world of Hollywood, movies, TV, video games. Hopefully, Level Up Gaming comes back one of these days, right? I think they all just
took a hiatus.
Yeah, after the first two episodes, it was they had to pull a. Actually, I won't even make that joke. But yeah, we've got a lot of stories to talk about here. We got movies in development, shows that have wrapped, some controversies, and some reviews. So it should be a fun pod. Listen to the pod, of course, on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all the places for podcasts, and. Yeah, follow us on social media at Nerd Soup, Bo Soup, Teddy Nerd Soup. We're actually doing a giveaway.
You didn't say me, you fucking scumbag.
I didn't say you? Oh, yeah. I said Bo Soup, Nerd Soup, Teddy Nerd Soup.
That's all right. That's fine.
You have to earn it. Subconsciously. If I'm forgetting about you subconsciously, unintentionally, that's on you.
He's giving you time to plug it and you're not doing it. Do you not want to plug it?
I need to plug it.
I'm always the plugger.
At Nerd Soup Monkey, though. Instagram and Twitter.
And LinkedIn. Yeah, no, we're giving away some Bo Levi stickers. We haven't put these for sale. We've been just holding on to them, teasing them here and there, but we're going to give some away.
I like those ones. Where's my Beast Titan monkey sticker?
Drawn by Julianne Doodles, friend of the show. So go follow her on Twitter, Instagram, and follow us.
And message her, like, where's my Beast Titan monkey sticker?
I think it's in the works.
Never asked for, but
part two.
I just assumed that it's just a natural thing.
It's going to be a big event, part two.
I'm getting real sick of fucking seeing all these stickers, all these new stickers from you guys, and I still haven't gotten one yet.
You don't watch the shows that we do the stickers
for. Okay, well, I haven't gotten a sticker yet.
What do you want your sticker to be?
You pick the shows that Teddy doesn't watch for the stickers to be. Teddy, when I think of Teddy, what do I think?
Ted Lasso, Ted sticker?
Wow.
How about a Rugrat?
Perfect.
A Rugrat. That's why you don't get a sticker. What are you, big-ass Teddy in a diaper?
He's the creepy baby.
Yeah, I could see you as a creepy baby.
Or like a courage themed or something.
Right. Well, let me tell the people that if you want to win one of these stickers, you just have to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. So we're going to be picking random people from our followers on Twitter and Instagram. So you have to be following us there.
Specifically mine. So hit me with those follows.
Actually, no. Following Aaron won't help you whatsoever.
But you get some good tweets?
No, just a Nerd Soup account. The main account.
Yeah, the main account. Yeah. The main account.
Hmm.
That will trickle down economics here. The main account gets the followers.
That didn't work.
Yeah. Trickles down.
Did that work?
Well, it might work. We'll find out.
Depends on who you ask.
Hmm.
What do you don't love freedom?
I just want
sounds like you don't love freedom.
I just want more followers.
Aaron just wants the followers on his account. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's selfish. Give some. What are you going to give away?
Fire ass tweets.
Bowling tips. Oh, Teddy, can you? Because he put a lot on you there.
I want to hear the story first.
No, but like it wasn't like I just need you to
you
be
don't
like
listen to the pod
because no, we played in the league together for like that 2 weeks. But we went bowling. There was one stretch where we went a lot, and like I wasn't bad. Like I finally got the curve down. You taught me how to do it, and like I was good. And I tried to replicate it a couple weeks. Well, no, last week, and I just kept guttering. I got like four gutters in a row, and I ended up with a total score of 33.
Which
wasn't a good look, but I didn't
How'd
give up.
Do?
I didn't give up on the curve. I think that's like.
Well, at that point, you should.
No, but I feel like if I'm going to get it back down, I had to keep going with it. And like I already started off, and like I was like, whatever, I'm just going to let it rock. And either I would hit it, and then it would either go into the gutter before it curved, or I would get the curve, and it would just be way too much English on it, and go right into the other gutter.
Well, a lot of it has to do with oil patterns, and
I think it was an oiled up lane. They oiled that bad boy up.
Mm.
It just depends on where the curve is. Because if you hit the curve too soon, like you said, it
game
shoots.
Game three, I caught it down a little. I threw it like further down, and then I got it. But yeah, the first game was rough, and I was embarrassed.
I mean, you weren't a 33 guy. Nash is a 33 guy.
I know. That's what I felt like, though. I'm a 100 guy. I could break 100.
It's cringeworthy watching Nash throw a bowling ball. It's bad.
Yeah.
He pinches it with his two fingers and throws it sidearm.
He's not terrible, though. For a casual bowler. Nash.
When have you been bowling with Nash?
Nash is worse than...
We went, remember
Nash
when we
is
went?
Really bad, dude.
Okay, but as a casual bowler, he's not embarrassing.
He's
okay with us. He was in the 70s or 80s.
He's embarrassing.
Well, you're a snob. You're a bowling snob.
I'm not a snob.
You have your own ball.
He refuses...
Yeah, if you have your own ball, then I don't want to hear about your...
He refuses to like go straight back and forward and hold it like a normal human being.
He does, yeah. He's committed to... He's Lonzo. Needs to be straightened out.
But at least Lonzo listens.
I was committed to the curve.
Well, maybe Ted could take you out now that things are opening up and
yeah, we could bowl.
Reteach you the curve.
Yeah, until Delta comes around. That
you know
shit
what, Teddy
is shutting it down.
Didn't join us for the Green Knight. So upsetting.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
So. I think you would have
hated
from
what I'm hearing, I don't think I'd be a too...
My theater, yo, the reaction.
Too big of a fan.
All right, so first of all, I go in a theater, group of like 10 teens, 17 maybe. They walk in, they strut in. I'm like, oh, like I saw them in like the concession area. And I was like, checking to see what else is playing. I'm like, oh, they're probably going to not go see this. They did. And, you know, they were very obnoxious during the previews, but to their credit, shut up once the movie started.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, this might be a nice little like group of like cinephile friends, you know? So I was happy that they didn't like do anything during the movie. After they like after the movie, I was in like a section with, it was a pretty crowded theater. Lots of groans, lots of like laughs, like, are you kidding me, laughs. But they
laughing
clapped.
At it, not yeah. laughing with it.
They clapped in like the front, but after like 2 minutes as the credits were going, so I didn't, it was very sarcastic though. So I got a sarcastic clap and a lot of grunts and groans and ugh, and I liked it.
No, I had a similar experience in my theater. We had one couple in front of us who walked out 45 minutes in. And then a group of six walked out at near the third act, which to me, I was flabbergasted.
Jeez,
if you don't like
long.
The movie, yeah, if you stuck around, and the whole movie hinges on what really is this task? What's there to win here? What's the catch? And even if it is a slow burn and it takes a long time to get going, or maybe it doesn't even start at any point. It is a slow burn of a movie, but not so slow that I thought it would elicit this reaction from so many fans. It had the terrible cinema score, C+. Which is bad. I mean, good movies get a B+, and that's how you know audiences didn't like it. I didn't see it coming. Maybe it's because the marketing is misleading.
It's not what I expected.
So much better than normal A24 movies.
What I expected, I knew
you thought it was. Oh, you thought it was a sequel to the Guy Ritchie movie, right?
Yeah,
Dev Patel was gonna.
I was waiting. I was like,
the throne there.
Like, why isn't Charlie Hunnam like old King Arthur?
Right. Where did we already make this joke? That's funny.
Yeah, we definitely already made that joke.
Yeah, we did.
But
I think it was on the last
decent bit.
Recycle it for Ted.
Worth a callback.
Ted didn't hear it. He didn't listen.
Doesn't even know there was a Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie.
Yeah, I watched it with the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, there you go, Ted. You liked it.
Yeah. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
But I really didn't like... I saw the trailer and I was like following the hype. I really didn't like know too much going into it, especially once like the mixed reviews came out. I didn't really seek out why it was a mixed review. So I just figured maybe it was a slower, more artistic take on a Knight's Quest, which I guess it kind of was, but I wasn't really expecting this supernatural surrealism at times type of... film, but I think that's when it was at its best. I think, like you said to me before I went to go see it, that it starts off slow, and I think it did, but what kept me like invested up until a point where I think he sees the Titans, and I was like, oh, this is definitely something strange. I'm invested, I'm locked in. But I just thought the character of Garwin, right?
Sir Garwin?
Garwin, yeah.
Is it Garwin or Guywin?
Dev Patel.
Okay.
I for that like opening maybe hour of him and his journey, I was more fixated on some of the landscapes and shots and kind of more of the artistic elements of movies. And I really appreciated that. I thought the score was very well, but I wasn't really gripped until it started to get strange. And that's when I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to gear up for this and I'm going to kind of know what to expect going forward. Because even like before that, there were some supernatural elements, but like I guess it kind of fit in the world and some of the lore of King Arthur, like just the Green Knight in general being summoned. I'm like, okay, I can vibe with this. But I didn't really expect it to be what it turned out to be towards the end. And I was pleasantly like surprised, and I was kind of, I digged it a lot. I don't know what you expected or...
It got 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb and 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not, the IMDb is not bad, 7.5.
IMDb, no, that's not bad at all.
Especially for movies. It's, if I see a TV show at 7.5, I'm not watching.
Right. It's definitely a movie that the internet was championing for a long time. With all the pushbacks, people were very upset. They were highly anticipating it because of Dev Patel in the role and because of the source material. One negative review I saw was upset that it wasn't more faithful to the source material. But when your source material is hundreds and hundreds of years old, how faithful can you be? Yeah, it is a poem. One of the complaints was that the original character that Dev Patel plays, he's more enthusiastic about wanting to prove that he's an honorable knight. And maybe he is more honorable in that original poem. But I felt like this is more relatable to just current times. Adults that go through this where they're pushed into something and they don't really know why. There's no true answer, but it's about achieving this preconceived idea of what greatness is, of what honor is, what we tell ourselves, the lies that we kind of tell ourselves about what greatness and honor is. I enjoyed that aspect. It reminded me of Game of Thrones. And that's why I just couldn't, even though it was so slow, I couldn't take my eyes off of it because I wanted to see where it was heading. And then, you know, it starts to click for you that maybe this is just a riddle, right? And then it was his mom who pushes him into this. It was some sort of spell. That's universally relatable, right? How many times are people pushed into things because of their parents, because they believe that they want to prove something to their parents? And in this case, also trying to prove something to King Arthur, who is, you know, one of the greatest myths of all time, right? And then in this movie, he can barely walk. He's got all these ailments and issues. So it's kind of all the glamour and glitz of destiny stripped down in this movie. It's an adult fairy tale.
Right, and I think, like, I enjoy when films like this, they take a different approach to kind of delve into a theme where it's not, like, not straightforward. There is a lot of confusion and a lot of things that really don't make sense, but in order to... It's a unique way to go about that theme of man trying to fulfill what they're supposed to be or who they're supposed to be. Obviously, his mom makes the Green Knight, pushes him on this quest to kind of not only as an opportunity for him to prove himself, but to come back with all the elements that make a knight. And you see him like throughout his journey just keep failing up until the end, which I think the open-endedness of it, you know, is open for interpretation. Is that he see his life flash before his eyes, realize that it's only going to be pain and misery because he's not the man that he is supposed to be, and chooses death? Or was that part of the test that his mom set out? I have a hard time believing his mom just wanted him to get murdered by this Green Knight. You know, he could have just died at the end, or he could have saw that and then decided that he doesn't want that, and that being the test, like, oh, you proved yourself, you see where you're wrong, and you can change what your inevitable future will be by being somebody greater than you were when you left on this journey.
Right, yeah.
Do you prefer, like, so there's a way to tell this story with hitting all the same notes with it being less, you know, more standard way of telling the story. More mainstream, I guess, him going on this quest, running into, I guess, some of the same scenarios and proving that he's not kind of worthy of being a knight yet, but, and just failing, but still making it to the end, rather than it being just so kind of surreal and ambiguous.
Well, you know what I prefer.
I know.
I'm always going to prefer the surreal and ambiguous.
Well, I think that's
why people make complaints about certain movies. I've made a complaint about a movie. It's called an Italian movie, Blow Up.
Well, like with Mother, I feel like you kind of like it's, you didn't have to be, it's like, we get what you're going for. You didn't have to do all that. You're doing it just for sake of confusion. Where I think with this, it's maybe that's what a general audience member may take away from it. But yeah, like you, like I enjoyed those aspects of it.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was going through a fever dream. Almost like in The Lighthouse, where you have these two characters that are just going mad and their world becomes basically dreamlike, in a dream state, and you don't really know what's going on, or is it the character going crazy or is the world crazy? And you can also view it as just this journey taking everything away from him, where he's hallucinating, dreaming, or kind of not really knowing what's going on. Because it really did feel like a dream in a lot of ways when he goes to Joel Edgerton's castle with new Alicia Vikander, and he doesn't even... It's like he knows that it's the girl that he was with before he left, but he doesn't acknowledge it, and he kind of just goes with it, like, oh, I guess this is normal now. So it kind of... There's an unreliability with the protagonist that kind of, I think, makes those scenes not, like, forced or... out of nowhere. I think it's very intentional and it fits well.
Yeah, I think all those, the way that the movie is told, the slow burn, all the twists, all the surrealist aspects, it kind of represents the internal monologue that he's having through this journey. You know, if they would have replaced that with narration, he would be talking about all the struggles and the conflictions that he's feeling. But here, it's very much just portrayed through the performance, through the journey, through all the weird changes and, you know, the fantasy references to talking foxes and fucking giants. It kind of nails that confusion of the coming of age. It's like a coming of age night story. So, I mean, not every movie has to be a poem, but when your movie is based off of a poem, I guess that's the way to do it. Like, so many parts about the movie, just the overall look, like I said, this may be the best A24 movie, best looking A24 movie, what they were able to do with a $15 million budget. The score was very enchanting. So there were aspects that were beautiful that kind of remind you of the beauty in the world, even when you're going through a journey like this, that you're still reminded of those beautiful things. And that's really captured through the technical aspects of the movie, the way the movie was put together.
I just want, like, if you have a small budget, like, I love that, like, be able to stretch that budget and be able to have all these great sets and landscapes and the makeup for the Green Knight. Maybe don't try CGI.
I don't mind it. I think it's, yeah, the fact that it's not that good is cool to me. It's like somebody made this point about video games on Twitter the other day, that the hyperfixation on making graphics look as real as possible, it's taking away from games. Because instead of focusing on things like gameplay, narrative, it doesn't have to look real. There could be an element of fakeness to it, because it's like going to see a play and you have, you know, the fake blood coming out of people. It kind of, it relates to that time period almost. Like if you were going to go see the Green Knight play just at some old rinky-dink theater back in the day. I mean, that's probably the most noticeable, that it is a smaller movie, The Talking Fox. But when he started doing that voice, I was freaking out. It's like, what's waiting for him on the other side of this? There's so much uncertainty and mystery here. But like the Green Knight, I thought looked fantastic.
Yeah.
All the movements, the sound design. He's just this big walking tree, basically.
Nice booming voice.
Yeah, he was scared. Ralph Ineson, Game of Thrones alum. Also, The Witch, where he uses that voice to great effect in that movie as well. Yeah, they definitely stretch it thin. And I'm more impressed with that, because the CGI Fox... Like, if that's a 2004 CGI Fox, that's a good 2004 Fox. Like,
holy shit, where'd they get the talking fox from?
Yeah. Would you have preferred, like, a little puppet? That could have been funny. Just a little man.
Yeah.
A little puppet fox. Make it super surreal. What'd you say?
What, like in The Elf?
In The Elf?
Like those puppets? In The Elf, the movie.
Oh.
Those
puppets. You mean just Elf?
Elf.
The Will Ferrell movie?
Yeah.
You said The Elf.
You said The Elf.
I said, what? All right.
That's the one thing you chime in? You can't... you throw me off with The Elf? I thought maybe you were talking about a different movie. Are there puppets in The Elf?
The puppets. Yeah, okay. It's like the old Christmas shows, puppets.
Yes, exactly. There you go. Those freaky stop-motion puppets. Stop-motion Fox would have worked nicely. We also saw the actress from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right? The redhead?
Yeah.
She just appears in everything. I still don't know her name.
Carly.
Carly, yeah, right. yeah, there were some funny, some strange twists, like when he takes some mushrooms and he starts bugging out. I mean, the whole movie is like tripping on mushrooms at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Edgerton, one of my favorite actors working today, he shows up and he's just such a jolly presence. That was kind of another twist that, yeah, your journey's over. You know, just a couple miles that way and mm-hmm. you're there. And he's like, oh, shit, I guess I'll take a bath and... relieve myself.
Yeah.
Which was another scene that it reminded me of Neon Genesis Evangelion, when the opening end of Evangelion, the movie, where the main character does something similar and he's just so embarrassed.
I don't blame him.
No, I don't blame Alicia Vikander. And another great performance by her, man. I mean,
yeah, great monologue.
Great talents here.
I love a good monologue, especially within
I could be your lady. You want me to be your lady?
She was nailing that.
Definitely sounds like, yeah.
Nope.
If you fix your accent.
Yeah. No, yeah, she delivers, I think, a gripping monologue, and the performances are all pretty fantastic. And I think, yeah, him just going through like the trials and tribulations of this quest and constantly failing, but still moving forward. I mean, say what you want about him not being a knight in terms of his actions, going, seeing it out to the end, even though he does. That's another thing. It's like, does he cower away? Like, what's the real, I guess, ending, you know? If does he run and then does he see that then come back, or is he showing a glimpse, like when he sees himself, you know, dead when he's all tied up? Like, is he able to kind of, are these visions that he's having of the future kind of seeing what would happen if he continues on a certain path? And I guess those are questions that the movie set out to ask, and you got to really think about it as a viewer of what you think actually happened, which with most ambiguous movies, but I think this one is, it's one that kind of stuck with you the night after and the day after, and probably still, I've only seen it a few days ago, and you wonder about these things. And I don't know if it's one that I'm like rushing back to rewatch. I think I might need a little bit more time to digest and kind of prepare and kind of go back into it, but it's definitely one that, it's definitely intriguing, and I definitely would like to revisit it someday.
I really wish Teddy would have seen it, because I think this is a Teddy movie. This is a you crack the case. You're good at that.
I'll see it.
You're I do like want to see it. Last minute detective.
I wish it was streaming.
Well, at the end,
go to the theaters.
No one was with me to laugh, but I kind of made a joke to myself. So I was like, "Oh, climate change." I feel like every time I don't understand a movie or they try to like confuse you and everything, I'm like, ah, definitely a metaphor for climate change, which Alicia Vikander brought up in her monologue. So not that far off.
Even back then, man, it's amazing that we haven't taken care of this already. Hundreds of years. Why are you looking at me like that?
It's inevitable.
Oh, you're a climate denier?
Yeah.
You're in a very denying mood lately. You know what you can't deny though? Deadpool 3. We're moving on. That's our Green Knight review. We're going on to Deadpool. Brief story. Ryan Reynolds just confirmed that they are working on the script and they will begin shooting next year. That's actually not certain. 70% chance, yeah, that they begin shooting next year. So this is exciting news. We knew that Deadpool was coming to the MCU. It's fun to talk about how they're going to integrate this character and how far are they going to stretch the R rating. Are they going to allow Deadpool the freedom that Fox did? Because a lot of people love those first two movies, and you can attribute their success to allowing them to have that creative freedom.
I think, I mean, you got to. I think the buzz around it, I think Feige even came out and said that, you know, or maybe not Feige, maybe the director kind of talked about, like, that's the way they're going to go. I don't know. Maybe they'll tone it down a little, but I think that would be a mistake. If you know Deadpool at this point, it's established from the first two. It made a ton of money. I think at this point, you got to keep riding it. And I don't see why they wouldn't. Who cares if it's under Disney umbrella now? They knew what they were getting into. So it's, I think it would just be a bad look and bad reaction from fans if you take what we loved and just try to make it fit an audience that it's not for.
It's rated R, right?
Yes, yeah, we'll be rated R.
How R?
Yeah, well,
I wonder if they'll play the MCU opening credits in front of it, the montage with all the different characters, if they're going to go that far to connect it, or they don't have to.
Or they can make a joke about it.
Just, yeah, it could just be all Deadpool. Yeah.
That'd be funny.
He would do something like that.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of jokes to make at the expense of the MCU and of Disney. That's what I hope they let him do. Because Fox, they just, they don't care. Disney is more careful about their image. Once again, if they're doing an R-rated movie, it has to be R-rated. You don't shy away from that, because then you're just wasting everyone's time. So, hopefully, they just let them go crazy.
Yeah, if it's rated R because they slipped in an extra fuck, then...
Like... Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Do you guys think any kind of movies would like incorporate Corona into the movie? With like, well, just like addressing Corona?
I think they already have.
There's shows.
Like, I feel like Deadpool can bring
this
it up.
Is Us. They talk about it all the time.
Do they?
Yeah, they're like wearing masks and.
Oh, wow.
But This Is Us sucks, so who cares? I'm allowed to that.
Probably why.
I mean, most people don't want to see commentary on it. We get it every fucking day. Just go on Facebook or Instagram, and your uncle's probably talking about it. Yeah. There's your COVID commentary. It's not going to be funnier than that.
I just hope we're past the stage of Corona shutting down projects and movies.
I don't know about that. Now they're saying Delta Plus.
Is that a new streaming service?
No, it's a I think Fauci into streaming.
I think Fauci came out and said there's a new the new variant from Delta is going to be worse than both of them.
I can't believe you just said that name out loud. Such a controversial name.
I hate that name.
Yeah, you just got mad at you. You mentioned it.
I'm giving this guy a pub right now. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's a pub he needed. He needed the backing of Ted. Now all of a sudden, people trust him again.
No, I don't trust him.
I'm just joking.
Oh,
yeah.
I blame
it's mistakenly they
don't
take
lump
it
me
for
in
you.
With that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mistakenly, they think that you talked him up.
I blame Loki
for all this
for creating the new variant,
making variants.
Oh boy,
I'm good at this.
Should we move on to the next topic? Deadpool 3. Anything? Any thoughts? I think we're excited. You excited? I'm excited.
Yeah.
What about this, Ted? New deal for Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the South Park guys.
So that
$900 million deal with MTV Entertainment Studios, which is also Viacom CBS, and they're going to be doing shit for Paramount Plus.
I had Paramount Plus.
Are these companies even related?
Yeah, Viacom.
They just own all of them now, huh? Jesus.
Nickelodeon's
Christ.
In there.
So it's going to
Paramount Plus is a shit. I love Paramount Plus.
You and the three people who have it?
I don't care. Keep it going.
So South Park has also been renewed through season 30.
Jesus.
2022 will be its 25th season.
That's the thing, though. They're
so
still
2027
funny,
season, season 30, number 30.
30 seasons, and they're still cranking. I think they're still hilarious.
Well,
that's what all those guys do. They don't do anything else. Yeah. I respect it. They seem to still like it, but that's why the quality is maintained. These
they get a certain
don't
point
work on their shows anymore.
They had to make an adjustment where it's like, we can't just tell original stories and adventures with the cast of characters about, you know, eventually that runs out. Like, oh, we're going into fourth grade, or oh, this is happening, or this, like, natural stories. And sooner or later, when those ideas run out, you got to be like, oh, we got to draw from popular culture and current events. And they transition to more of commentary on current events using the characters, which... I think you can go as long as you want because shit just keeps happening.
Yeah.
Because, especially now, but in general, you just take whatever's the big hot story, use that as the basis of the plot of your episode, and keep going that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. They've grown and they've learned to... That's how you stay relevant, because the news is always changing. And especially after these 2 years, the news has become so hilarious.
Every
Not
story
even two
every
years,
day.
5 years. Right, we are living inside of GTA, and these guys are the perfect. The deal also includes 14 movies, so I don't know if those are going to be South Park movies or original ideas, a combination of both. See a sequel to Bigger, Longer, Uncut? Bigger, Longer, Uncut?
I mean, at first I was like, 14 South Park movies is ridiculous.
But yeah, it's got to be original content.
What do you think about it? You string together three episodes together and call it a movie.
Yeah. I'm sure they have ideas. I mean, when they went to Broadway, their Book of Mormon show was an absolute hit.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to love that.
Well, that's Team America they made, Basketball.
Basketball, too. If Adam Sandler does it for Netflix, these guys can pump out some shit, right? It's content, content, content. That's the name of the game these days.
I don't think they would just make shit just to have it, though. I think they're very particular about what they want to work on. It's not like they're going to throw out some, like, Hubie Halloweens or...
Right, relax. I'm starting to Sandler hate now.
I don't know. You get the bag, you start getting lazy.
That's true.
Killer Lamp.
That could probably... I can actually see them doing some shit like that. Just making 14 absolutely terrible movies on purpose. Just to prove a point about ridiculous money spending on new projects. Like, they'll just pay for anything. No, I just gave them a good idea. Hope they're listening.
We'll talk about spending money on anything. Amazon's Lord of the Rings series has wrapped filming. Its reported budget is $475 million.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Is that the most expensive show ever made?
No, I mean, that would be the most expensive movie ever made, I'm pretty sure. I think Endgame may have hit $500 million when you add up the budget and marketing. But so far, this is just, I mean, they haven't even done marketing.
I was just going to say, well, I feel like I haven't seen anything.
Did you see that one image?
Yeah, besides the first look, yeah.
Yeah, other than that, we just have the premiere date, which is going to be September 2nd, 2022.
That's so encouraging that it's done filming.
Yeah, a little more than a year out.
No, it's just post-production.
Yeah, I can't wait to, like, it's...
That's how shows are made.
Yeah. I can't wait for, like, the just promotion, the real promotion to start rolling out.
The real North.
Clips, you know, interviews, and get more idea of what this is going to be, because...
Where is this set? Is this show set before the events of Lord of the Rings?
Thousands of years before.
All right.
I think we talked about it last time when we talked about the picture. It's just... This has a... I'm still trying to gauge, like, what the potential for the show is, but to put all this money in it and have that name recognition like Lord of the Rings, and Amazon is not going to shy away from promoting the hell out of this, especially after putting in almost $500 million in. So the potential for this is just otherworldly, not in terms of, like, viewership's popularity, but just in changing the landscape of television. I mean, not to say that, like, other studios and other streaming services are going to see this and be like, wow, that's popular, we're about to throw $500 million at our next project. But
it no, you could can't just, do it for everything.
But it can just set the standard. It's like, if you're going to go big, you got to go fucking massive. You want to be the next Game of Thrones, this is the effort you got to put into it.
It's got every chance to be the next Game of Thrones too. I mean, besides Game of Thrones, there really isn't high fantasy sword shows out there besides The Witcher, maybe.
Yeah, which we haven't heard anything from that show and quite a while, it feels like.
Yeah.
Got news about, like, the spinoff and the prequel show, but even Mandalorian at times, you could tell that they're on a budget that's not equivalent to the Star Wars movies that come out. The Disney Plus shows, they've done a good job of setting their shows in places, and even through the narrative, where they don't need that big budget. Loki looked fantastic for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like you said, this has a chance to just completely... you know, destroy our expectations of what television is supposed to look like, and it will put the pressure on other streaming services. Amazon can do this because they bring in, like, $30 billion a year. So them maybe not taking a loss, maybe taking a loss here, but in the long run, it's going to be something that they can always, you know, just claim.
Yeah, but is that going to be the problem, though, what you just said? Like, is this what shows are supposed to look like? Because it's really... It's not. Like, this is just a crazy budget.
And
this is like the rich kid coming in with, like, old and new shoes.
Yeah,
like,
it's this Malfoy with the Nimbus.
Yeah.
And he's not even that good.
Yeah.
I imagine the show is going to be good. Last podcast episode, I said that I wanted to see this in theaters. If you're going to make it with this budget, I'm sure it's going to be shot in an aspect ratio that's widescreen, something that's made to be watched in theaters. Look at Game of Thrones. As big as Game of Thrones got, they still shot with television cameras. It was made for TV screens. So you can't complain and say, this needs to be seen on the big screen. But for $475 million, you're not sparing any expense. They've probably got the best cameras. They're going to have the best CGI. It's going to be like just a long-ass, expensive-ass movie. So to watch that in my basement, I also want to say that my setup, I got a comment a few weeks ago just shitting on my setup.
Why?
So I was being humble about it, and the guy's like, how do you not have a good setup? It's like, okay, I got the OLED. I got a 65-inch OLED. I got the 5 months around sound.
Talk it up
now. Speakers. Yeah,
talk
now,
it up now.
I got to talk my shit.
You got the reclining seats, the popcorn maker.
Yeah. But still, I would want to experience something that's going to be shot for theaters. In theaters, I'm still going to be a stickler about that. It's not going to ruin the show for me, but I will be annoying about that. If it's going to look that good, put it in theaters for a fucking week, or at least put the finale or something. Give me that option. But I doubt they will, because they want people watching it on Amazon.
So I guess it's too early where they can say, like, run times, right, for the TV episodes.
It's 2 hours.
I think they gave us 8 episodes, right, for one season. I think that's the plan. 8 episodes. So you would have to imagine, yeah, anywhere between 50, hour 10.
Yeah.
Similar to Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Second Age, Middle Earth, thousands of years before the movies.
It's sick.
I can consider it canon. Hopefully they deliver. It's wrap filming. All right, let's move on to the next story here. We have a trailer. King Richard, Will Smith is returning to see if he can finally win an Oscar. Or be nominated. He will be playing the father of Serena and Venus Williams, the two superstar tennis players. Serena, obviously, everyone's familiar. Everyone's familiar with both of them.
Yeah.
Serena being the GOAT and Venus being the GOAT's sister. Good trailer, though. Eye-opening look at... You guys didn't watch this trailer, huh?
I did. Mm-hmm. He looks...
Okay.
it looks really good. It's like so fascinating seeing what goes into, because obviously from the trailer, it looks like he had a predetermined plan for his two daughters. So it's like, it's crazy to see what like really has to go into if you want to make your kids, or at least train your kids into the athletes that they are right now. Like the hours they put in as kids is more hours than adults put in.
It's always interesting when you see those type of stories or type of scenarios. It's like, does the end goal, is that like justify being kind of shitty? You know, pushing your child into something that who knows what they wanted to do, like pushing it on them super hard, making them do all these things and being like all their training and kind of just controlling every aspect of their life to become who they are today. And like, it's like, do you look back on it? It's like, I'm the best tennis player of all time, probably because of that. But also it's like, does that make what happened okay?
That's the thing. I don't know what type of relationship they have now or they had back then. Obviously, he comes off as an overbearing father. That's never been a secret that he was their trainer.
He doesn't, but I don't know. In the clip, it seems he genuinely cares about them, though.
Right, that it's more they always talk about Michael Jackson's father. That's an example of somebody who went too far, probably didn't necessarily need to go that far in order to get that talent out of his son, because his son was already so naturally talented. That looks like more the case here, where like two daughters with natural talent, he sees a way out, he sees a better future for them, and at times he can be a bit overbearing. But I don't know too much about their relationship. I don't know how complicated it is, but he seems like a LeVar Ball, you know?
Yeah, he's there for him, and right, he knows how to push him,
and he knows what he has. And you do wonder, you know, how Serena and Venus feel. You know, maybe do they regret some of the time that they spent training and didn't spend being kids?
You got to assume that they
see sometimes.
You got to assume that they were a part of this movie, right?
Not necessarily. Hollywood does that, man.
Look at Stillwater.
Yeah, look at Stillwater. They made it.
Because I was going to say, I wonder how true it is. And then I thought, those two got to be part of it.
For Will Smith to take on the role, you imagine that he has been in contact with Serena. And he doesn't want to disrespect her in any way, because she's still such a big figure, such an icon, that if you want to tackle this movie, you want to tackle it respectfully. And it does look like the relationship is complicated. You know, it always is when a parent, I guess, lives vicariously through their kids.
It's going to be me. it is. I'll push my kid to sports.
I did really like the line when...
I think the only thing I'm doing my kid athletic-wise is just make him a lefty.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. That's a great idea, actually.
He won't be getting into heaven, but...
Why?
He'll be able to kill right-handers. Lefties don't get into heaven.
Who says?
The Catholic Church for a long time. They used to beat people into not drawing and writing with their left hands.
I'm going
to
do that, but like... You never heard those throw stories 90. With nuns?
No.
Yeah. That's common in a lot of cultures. Yeah. Being left-handed was a sign of the devil.
That's horrible.
Yeah, but if you can throw 90 mile per hour guess.
I kick lefty.
You never seen the Family Guy where Lois realizes that she was repressed out of being a lefty?
No.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm a lefty, Peter, and she can't do anything lefty. Peter's like, all right, Lois. I'd push my kid into UFC, probably. Just to see him beat the shit out of other kids. That'd be funny.
Or kicker.
Kickers, how do you get the bag?
Yeah, too much pressure, though.
Well, speaking of kicking, Hunter. Cobra Kai, returning in December. We got a new trailer. We got a release date. All Valley Tournament is back. Obviously, we're season 3 left off. We have...
That intro is like so 80s, too.
The 80s vibes of the show.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, they got the iconic voice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 80s vibes. I absolutely love it. I'm excited, man. You know, it's all what we all wanted. Johnny Lawrence and Daniel LaRusso teaming up to take on their old mentor, Crane. That's his name, right? Crease.
Yes, yeah. There it is.
Fucking, he's one of the greatest. I can't even remember his name. He's one of the greatest villain, TV villains of all time. And in the movie. You
know? He's so stereotypical.
Yes.
But he like plays it so well. But isn't like the resurgence of...
Ralph Macchio?
Yeah. Damn it. Isn't the resurgence of Ralph Macchio like crazy?
I'm sitting back relaxing on my phone.
I was going to say Daniel LaRusso. No, because like when this show first came out, it was like, do we really need this series? Like you see Ralph Macchio is attached to it and it's like, oh, he's probably down on money. And now we're bringing back Cobra Kai. But to see how like amazing it is, it's so like... It's so enlightening, like, no, what's the word? It's so...
Refreshing?
Yeah. it's so refreshing seeing an old movie come back and that they didn't lose ties to like the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It very much honors the first movie.
Yeah.
It's got the similar vibes. They perfectly updated that whole aesthetic to the modern day. A man at a time. I always call him a 1980s fossil. Trying to fix his life. Trying to remedy his life in many ways. And Daniel LaRusso still being the hero that we all know and love from the original Karate Kid. He hasn't lost the swag. He's got the same walk. He's got the same, you know, optimistic spirit that just rubs off on you. Like, you know, Miyagi once had as well. And it's just a delight. It's, you know, starting to watch Ted Lasso. It's got a similar feel to it. It's very uplifting, optimistic. It's about people bettering themselves, characters that you can root for, complex characters that you can root for. And it's so, like, we all knew where it was heading. Mm-hmm. And you know how this is going to end. They're going to beat Kreese.
Yeah.
But the way that they're doing it, the fact
but
that
they make
all
them
these
lose,
enemies.
They make them lose so much to where you actually, for a second, you think they might not beat them.
They've earned this team up.
Yeah.
They've earned it because they've gone through so much dojos.
That team up is what made this show so great, is because you knew it was going to happen, but the way they did it, you thought for a second that it wasn't going to happen. You know what I mean? Where it's like it's so typical that the good guy and bad guy would just end off shaking hands and being good again.
Yeah, it's bigger draws.
Yeah.
And they because that relationship between Johnny Lawrence and Kreese is so complex, they can get away with it.
But Johnny Lawrence...
Because LaRusso hates him because of, obviously, he was the guy that was training all of his bullies. And he was an abusive father figure towards Lawrence. So
but this show made...
And he tried to do the right thing by him, and he got burned once again.
The way this show went, though, it made Daniel LaRusso out to be a bad guy, too.
Right, yeah, no.
It painted a bad light on Daniel LaRusso, which you didn't see coming.
Setting it from Lawrence's perspective was a stroke of genius. When you mentioned in the beginning of your point, you see Ralph Macchio's attached to the Karate Kid reboot, the first thing you do is sigh.
Yeah.
Another reboot, they're going to ruin another classic, even though Karate Kid 3 is not that great. But they flipped it. They did some necessary things to make sure that it didn't feel like it was a cash grab or forced. So it's become its own thing. It's kind of transcended the movies in many ways because I think the show was better. But I'm very excited. December.
So am I.
I'm sure we're going to review that. It's coming out on Netflix. And our last story here is about Sholo Maradena, who plays Miguel in Cobra Kai, has been cast, or he's close to being cast, as Blue Beetle in the HBO Max movie.
So what's Blue Beetle?
So Blue Beetle is, I think his, I forget the character's name. I know the last name is Reyes. And he's just a super genius superhero. He's kind of like Iron Man. He's got the Blue Beetle suit. I'm not too familiar with Blue Beetle. I know
Blue Beetle?
Yeah.
Doesn't he? He's the one who has like the apparatus attached to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of like.
Came in like he was your high school pal. Blue Beetle?
You guys don't know Blue
Beetle?
BB?
He's got the fucking,
I think he has
the oxygen tank.
What's that movie, the Blumhouse movie that everyone liked, but I didn't like, about the guy who had the thing, like the attachment, and he was able to do cool things?
Oh, yeah. Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Yes. Similar to that. Right. Yeah. He's got like a thing inside of his head, right?
Yeah. I think it's like an alien. I don't know.
He looks like the Wasp, kind of.
I think his name is Jaime Reyes.
Mm-hmm. I think he's the new 52 version.
Right. Another HBO Max movie that looks like it's just going to be coming out on HBO Max. And, like, I'm more familiar with this character because I know a lot of Hispanic comic book fans have been pushing for this character to appear in live action. It's a no-brainer when people say, you know, create original characters. Well, there are original characters out there that are actually played by people of color or women that haven't got the chance at appearing on the big screen. So I'm happy for the actor. I think he's fantastic as Miguel. Talk about that being a breakout role for him. This could be an even bigger breakout role, where maybe he leads the Blue Beetle franchise for the next couple of years. Maybe this becomes DC's equivalent of Spider-Man, casting someone who's in their teens. You can incorporate the coming-of-age genre into this movie. I'm still excited to see... Well, not excited. I'm interested to see how they balance the live-action and HBO Max movies.
I don't know.
I don't understand that.
It just seems like they're just doing it whatever. Like, nothing is really going to matter. Just we're going to make movies and TV and...
Trippy.
They're not going to connect. It's just... Watch this movie. Like it, hopefully.
Watch this fucking movie.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Suicide Squad comes out tonight.
Wow, look at that.
You guys want to go?
Is that streaming?
Didn't I already invite you? And just no word.
Oh, when it's Saturday.
This kid can leave you on red in real life. It's unbelievable how you do that.
I'm busy Saturday.
All right.
You said it comes out tonight, though.
I know. He was waiting until Saturday.
Well, I want to go see it in the giant IMAX in the city.
That's...
And it was already sold out.
So where are you going?
Giant IMAX in the city on Saturday. It was sold out Thursday and Friday.
Oh, okay, okay.
Is that sold out, but they were pushed.
Is this giant IMAX in the city type movie?
Shot in IMAX. Blockbuster?
I know, but I get going for like Civil War.
Well, I'm a movie guy. I don't know about you guys. I like the theaters. Well, Teddy has sworn on. I think he gave it up for Lent. You hate IMAX, right? Too big?
I love IMAX.
Okay. I could see you complaining about that.
I'm more of that.
It's too big.
I'm more of that kind of take, too, though.
How much movie do you need?
It's too big of a screen. It's like you feel like you got to look
okay, at so both sides. That's more you. What's that?
It's like a fisheye, you know?
We got to go. All right. We got to go to the, you know, the Deer Park?
Crazy eyes watching the movie.
I forget what it's called, but it's like a panoramic theater with like three screens. Like, you know how gaming setups are like that?
Oh, okay. That sounds bad. That doesn't sound fun. Even the dome. I don't love the dome that they have out in.
I can't watch a game like that either, though. People have like 12 screens set up with the game on it. I can't watch it like
that. Yeah, I don't like the multiple screens for one big screen. I notice the black
too
much. Mm-hmm. Bothers me.
I find myself just watching the black.
No, I'm going to make a day out of the city. We're going to go into the city, hang out, go to the movies,
get some
dinner. Well, I enjoy the city. I know you guys hate the city.
I work in the city now. Oh, you know what I found out too, Aaron?
What?
I got to be a Rangers fan now.
Why?
I work in the city.
Who gives a shit?
Well, I don't know who to root for.
I feel like you haven't committed to.
I'm not a big hockey guy.
Come on,
I feel like since I work in the
city,
you're
a Long Island guy, though, through and through. It's in your blood.
Wait, so you like the Yankees, Knicks? Who would you choose between Giants or Jets?
If I had to pick one of them,
yeah,
probably Giants.
Okay, go with the Rangers because then you get the perfect four. You could be a perfect four fan. Those are the four majors.
Yeah.
I ruined it by being an Islanders fan.
They're good, though.
I've almost switched. Yeah, no, they are good.
Yeah.
But it's not as clean.
Aren't they better than the Rangers?
It's not
right
as clean. You could be the ultimate New York fan.
I haven't picked a side yet.
But he's a fucking Patriots fan.
I don't want to throw my stick on the wrong turf, though.
You're good. Yeah, up until the turf. Could have used ice.
You guys want to move on to fan questions?
Yeah. He's a Patriots fan, so he's impossible to be a New York, like, pure New York fan, so.
Yeah, so. If I had to pick Jets or Giants, I'd probably pick the Giants.
Yeah, it doesn't count, though.
That's for the fan to decide.
Yay!
People, you call up to the show, you better be ready. That's what you're supposed to do. Sitting there arguing and trying to spell your name and all of this other stuff. It's not your show, it's my show. I'm giving you the opportunity to speak your mind. Don't call up here unless you got something to say.
This question here from Kevin Myers at KevinMe996. Do you think, Game of Thrones question, do you think Tywin was telling the truth when he said he wasn't going to let Tyrion be executed after the Mountain vs. Viper?
No.
Don't forget, he still wanted Jaime to renounce the Kingsguard.
Nah, he was going to bounce him.
I think, yeah, Tyrion just disrespected him. I think even Jaime realized,
I got
you out of this and you fucked it up.
With how much he's done, though. I don't get how he still doesn't see him as his son. Is it really just because he's a dwarf and he doesn't fuck with him like that? Like,
killed his mother.
He didn't do it.
He was just looking at it for an excuse.
Well, every time he saw his son,
he's just a bully. There are, you know, all these societal things that he felt that Tyrion didn't live up to.
Tell you what, he doesn't treat Jaime and Cersei too hot either.
Yeah. He's barely nice to them. I'm sure if they had something that he can pick on them for, he would with no hesitation. He's not like Ned, where Ned is just
like,
doesn't really
people
care
like Tywin,
about
that they like fail to see that, you know, they're the way they are because of him. Right. It's like, why do you think Tyrion spends his time in brothels and drinks all this time? Probably because you were a shitty father to him.
Yeah.
So you hate him for something you caused. No way. He was scurrying at that point.
He thought he got out of it, man. Yeah. Fucking over him. Still gets on my nerves. Just kill him. This question here.
I still think if I was Tyrion, I would have chose Jaime, because that's like reverse Unoing it on your father. It's like, yeah, have both your sons die.
You're not getting out of season two if you were Tyrion. Stannis is turning you into a pretzel.
What do you mean,
Stannis? You're not thinking of that plan.
I just thought of it.
No, the wildfire plan.
No, the Jaime plans. You think Tywin's going to go for that? Yeah, what are you going to do? Checkmate.
Yeah, but I'm saying you don't even get to that point. In season two, you're dead.
Oh, I don't make it home from the wall.
I think for home from the wall.
Slip.
You
pissing.
Can make it home from the That always scared me, man. I never piss off a wall for that reason. With no support. This question here from Ben Urbanus. Urbanus. Top five current NBA players. Luka is in it.
And he is.
And how do you feel about Knicks free agency? I thought y'all did good. I think the Knicks make good moves. We're expecting our young guys to take a leap, and we shored up some role players. We have depth.
I love the
I'm
Kemba
excited
Walker
for the season.
No one we were going to sign were going to put us like in contention. So I like what they did. Kemba, we finally get like a, if he's healthy,
a stud point guard that can fucking handle the goddamn ball across half court.
They did what they had to do. They got better without risking too much for their future. And that's all you can ask for. Top five right now, I think Giannis, LeBron, and KD, I think, are
undisputed. Yeah,
Steph Curry.
I think you put Luka up there. I think that's the top five right there.
I don't know.
Kawhi.
You still have Kawhi.
I think Luka's still out for me. Maybe because Kawhi won't be okay. Since Kawhi's not playing next year, Luka. Then I think Luka's next.
Wait,
up.
What?
Kawhi's out next year. He tore his ACL.
So he's out for next year. He tore it in the playoffs.
Yeah, that means his recovery is going to be six from months. When he got surgery. 6 months for Kawhi Leonard.
I guess
he's taking the full 12.
Yeah.
8-12 injury? What do you think, he's Adrian Peterson? Kawhi Leonard. The guy's knee is sore. He's out for 3 weeks. That's why everyone was like, oh, the Knicks should try and sign Kawhi. You could throw a 200 mil at him?
Yeah.
I would.
He's an old 30. Yeah. And then he'll be an old 31 after he doesn't play next year. However old he is.
Tell you what, Lakers, whew.
LeBron has to prove that he's still top five. He's at that age where he does have to prove it. I'll give it to him right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if he comes out, you never know when this guy's going to lose a step. I can't imagine he's going to lose even at 37.
He still hasn't lost a step.
Yeah. But you saw it when Davis went down that he didn't have that, like, he doesn't have that super LeBron gear anymore, which is fine. He doesn't need it.
He's not bringing...
He's not going to give you like
2007 Cavs.
Yeah, yeah. Or that, yeah. He's not capable of that anymore. He needs, you know, like all the great, like Kobe, when he won those final two chips, he had healthy Lakers teams. Pau Gasol was always there. He needs his running mate at this point in his career. But we'll see.
I'm just so happy the Knicks didn't give up anybody. We still have our young guys, like you said. That's so encouraging.
Yeah, they have assets, so let's see how they do. This question here from Lucky Chris at Chris Mayoral. When's the next Level Up Gaming video coming out? Well, we have plans to record this Sunday, so.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully those fellas don't let me down. I'm bribing them with weed now.
You come to that?
Yeah, like you want a big biscuit of that biscotti? I'm the weed guy for people on the pod. This question here from Shane Atreides. Most anticipated movie at TIFF that isn't Dune? Probably The Last Night in Soho. Because that's the only one that I can think of.
Well, that Clifford's.
Oh, fuck, yeah. That's big.
Yeah, I think that's one of the more... Yeah, I think that's the one we're looking forward to more. The most, besides Dune. I'm trying to think, like, the Bergman movie intrigues me. I would like to see that. He didn't make the movie. That would be wild.
Wait, are you guys still going? I thought you said you couldn't go.
No, Canada, if Canada shuts down, then we can't, but...
Oh, you were lying about the passport? The passport?
No, we don't have passports, but we got enhanced licenses.
Oh.
So you can drive it.
Nice.
For sale.
Bo Oliver here. Here for TIFF. Right away, Mr. Oliver. Would you like a complimentary...
Damn, I was hoping you guys couldn't go.
Maple syrup?
Of course you were.
You're a bad friend.
I want to try some poutine, though. Here, that's a big thing.
Bro.
I can go for some poutine.
It is insane.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, the fries with the gravy.
It's so good, bro.
This question here from Hello
Kitty.
I've
been to Canada before.
Sick.
Genius. Teddy's been to the most countries here. What the hell? Fucking Ted Bourdain.
You use that one.
But Aaron's been to
Ted Viscotia.
No, I called you Aaron Bourdain.
I know.
I think Teddy deserves it now. Ted what?
Ted Viscotia.
Ted Verrazano. That's what I'm going to call you. Ted Viscotia. Fucking bitch. This question here from Hello Kitty Jesus. Bo, who's your favorite character from Dune? Everyone else, who do you think will be your favorite character from Dune? Lady Jessica.
Duncan Idaho. Who does Rebecca Ferguson play?
Lady Jessica.
Lady Jessica.
Yeah. Ted?
I know you're pushing.
Who do you think's going to be your favorite?
Oh,
did you already have
Bo.
A favorite?
It said Bo.
No, she said everyone. He said everyone else.
Oh,
who do you think will be your favorite?
Probably the Baron.
I like that pick. I think we're going to get a better version of the Baron in the movie. He's kind of a goofball in the book. This question here from Milo Amadeus Chicken Biscuit. Aaron Paul is the new Ghost Rider? Don't hate that. Not really a big Ghost Rider guy, but Marvel.
Ghost Rider is the guy who Nicolas Cage played, right?
Yes.
Aaron Paul. Why is there talks of that happening, or is he just saying that?
I think he's just kind of throwing that out there.
I feel like Aaron Paul, a great actor, right?
He went on a pretty.
He needs good roles, I think, to actually be good, though. So, like, I think his role in Westworld, he was very good in, and obviously Jesse Pinkman became that character. But every time I see him in other roles that could be writing, could just be the type of movie, it just doesn't...
drive?
Some people can bring it even in bad movies and bad roles, but you could tell, like, hey, sometimes he's just, like, not believable in some of these other roles he has, but...
Yeah, he'd be good. I feel like he'd be good in Tarantino movies. That's a director that, if he got his hands on Aaron Paul...
It's almost like he's trying to play Jesse in the roles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Thinking about him playing Ghost Rider right now, I feel like I know how he would play it, and I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
You know what I would have loved? Kit Harington as Wolverine.
Ooh.
I really would have loved that.
I haven't really seen Kit in, like, I don't know.
Anything besides Game of Thrones?
Pompeii? You didn't see Pompeii?
No.
But, like, where he brings, like, a lot of life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like he plays Jesse in every role. It's like he doesn't care about the role. I mean, he definitely does, but it just seems like when he's acting, he doesn't care about the role.
Well, you guys hate like Aaron Paul and Kit Harington. That's weird. This question here from Patrick O'Rourke at P2.
We'll see in Eternals.
O'Rourke. 04. If Dune is a masterpiece, do you guys think that puts Villeneuve in the conversation for greatest sci-fi director of all time?
Don't you guys think he is already?
I mean...
He's got two sci-fi movies that a lot of people consider perfect.
Arrival. Blade Runner 2049. Three
perfect movies.
I mean, you can call, like, people have made less that are in that conversation. I guess Lucas, you would attribute all three, even though he didn't direct all three, but those are very much his films.
Yeah, he is kind of becoming the sci-fi king here. Now doing the third one. Arrival, yeah, I mean, it is sci-fi. It's just such a good movie. Blade Runner, obviously, is a sci-fi classic. I would say it puts him in bigger conversations than just greatest sci-fi director. Like, just let's just start putting him in greatest director conversations.
Well, who would be on that Mount Rushmore? Ridley Scott.
Spielberg, Bay.
Who?
Spielberg, Michael Bay.
Greatest sci-fi director.
Stanley Kubrick.
What's Spielberg though? Sci-fi, like
high fantasy.
Yeah, I want to consider like what E.T.
Yeah, E.T. Minority Report.
Okay.
War of the Worlds. AI.
Right. Okay. I don't think any of them are really transcendent or like
I like E.T. Ridley is. Scott, James Cameron. You know, sci-fi, it is a very Western genre. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just Americans and some Europeans. Christopher Nolan, you would have to put him in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Some of his best movies are sci-fi. Inception, Tenet, Interstellar, obviously. And, you know, in many ways, I consider Villeneuve just to be a cleaner Nolan. He seems to hit more accurately than Nolan does.
Chris Nolan. It's cleaner.
Chris. But yeah, Spielberg's definitely in that conversation. I mean, Alfonso Cuarón has done some good sci-fi stuff with, fantasy with Harry Potter. Sci-fi is a fun genre.
Yeah.
I think Villeneuve has brought so much of the directors that have influenced him to his sci-fi movies, where they are, like Blade Runner 2049 does feel like an art house film.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Kubrick made sci-fi movies in the same way. 2001 A Space Odyssey, I'm sure that got a lot of people walking out of theaters when that was shown. Slower times. That's like with Star Wars. You could just tell, like, the 70s are just the vibes are just slower. So people were more forgiving. But yeah, Villeneuve he's one of the best. He's just one of the best working today, period, you know?
Yeah.
Film Twitter's favorite director, probably, wouldn't you say? All right, we'll take one more question. Tiger.
What movie was more of a slow burn, Lincoln or The Green Knight?
What a comparison.
Different types of slow.
Lincoln is, that's a tough rewatch. I love it. I love seeing Daniel Day.
Okay, this question here from Nelly at Kulinol. Which animal would you make a movie about, aside from lamb, pig, and first cow?
Chicken.
Chicken.
What animal? What I want to see a life of?
Beaver.
Dude, that's a sick pick.
It's just a man pretending to be a beaver.
Literally.
Yeah, we're doing like in the style.
Yeah.
Okay.
A day in the life.
It's not like a modern day Walden, but he's a beaver. It's adapted from Walden, Henry David Thoreau's Walden.
Dude, I watched a video on beavers because I got into a little like
into a beaver fix.
Mine is a chicken farm.
I went to a little beaver fix, dude, and the way they build their dams.
Like, incredible.
Insane.
Who's teaching them that?
But mine's like chickens, but it's Macbeth.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Chicken Macbeth.
It sounds like something you get at McDonald's.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can get a nice promotional deal.
Chicken Macbeth.
Get your Chicken Macbeth. It's like the Travis Scott burger. Maybe that's what he's writing for A24. All right, that's the Nerd 2 podcast, guys. Thank you for...
What's in the sandwich? Tragedy.
Yeah, it is strategy. They're already serving that at McDonald's. All right, guys, thank you for listening to this podcast. I am Bo, Aaron, Teddy. These rooms, they just wipe you out, right? Because it gets hot in here.
It feels like I'm working a 24 outside, and it's just like draining.
My head feels hot. I got like a cloud of hotness.
I'm hotter right now than I am behind the asphalt machine at 400 degrees.
Yeah, I did 2 reviews in a podcast today. I'm not going to speak for the rest of the day.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, there's no thoughts coming
out of
you. My
head would pop. My head popping on the podcast.
I hope you don't have any dates tonight. You're going to be a fucking brick
wall. He
probably
does. He's going to run from one date and go to the next one.
Girlie doesn't really like
it. Yeah.
She gets tired, Aaron. That's mean, man. That's messed up. Did you guys see that Versus?
I wish I lived the life you guys did.
I watched some of it. I didn't know the Lox had hits like that.
Dude,
like,
Jadakiss was up there just rat. Someone said that the lyrics obviously weren't written towards the Dipset, but they felt like they were. Because all Jadakiss's raps are just like, you're terrible and I'm the best. So he was just like applying all of his hit songs to Dipset. But the one point, dude, when he's like, I don't live in Miami. I don't live in Colorado. I live in New York. Come to my block. That's where you find me.
I don't know why Dipset.
He had Dipset on the ropes.
I don't know why Dipset wanted that smoke with the Lox.
There was more chemistry with the Lox.
Yeah. Maybe it's not. Like, if they did, they should have just done 50 Cent versus Ja Rule.
Well, Ja Rule can't.
No, he can't. He can't fuck
poor Ja. You want to do that to Ja again?
Bro, that's been like in like 20 years beef.
Yeah, but it's undisputed that 50 Cent won, though. It's not
It'd be so one-sided to the crowd.
I don't know.
You're setting up that man.
Because, like, 50, like, day. Obviously, like,
pound. What's he going to play? The J-Lo song? It's a banger, though.
But it's like, if he goes, like, if he does one, like, one of his hard songs where he's going at him and 50 Cent, like, responds to Candy Shop.
He's not going to do that.
No, 50 ain't. 50's
50 Cent's going strictly
out.
Massacre.
LAPD, no,
get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
I would not veer off from Get Rich or Die Trying if I'm 50 Cent.
I'd like to see 50 versus Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z has more,
Jay-Z would kill
but 50's
him.
Got a lot of like crowd songs, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's so many great beats on the Get Rich or Die Trying and the
Massacre. So is Jay-Z though, dude. I guess you're right.
What about
be a good
50
fight.
Versus M?
I'd take that.
Yeah.
I'd be worried that 50, it depends where it's
like,
held.
Okay, like a good example is Dipset has so many more bangers than the Lox, but those bangers didn't work. So like what you're talking about with 50.
Yeah, but that banger was like Suck It or Not. Like,
John Rule doesn't have enough.
Suck It or Not.
Suck It or Not. Lil Wayne versus 50 would be good.
Yeah. I'd Lil Wayne versus Jay-Z.
Lil Wayne's just like too deep from that, like just through like 2008 to 2013, he was just on every fucking song that everybody knows.
He would have so many beats to choose from.
How about Drake? You see Drake versus someone?
Drake's too big. I don't think he would do verses.
Yeah.
Drake versus Kendrick, that would never happen, but because Drake's too pussy.
Yeah, it depends. Like,
you think Kendrick's got that?
It's like bangers are just better, like,
hit-wise?
Yeah, once Kendrick plays Mad City. Are you kidding me? That's shutting down a fucking crowd. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, 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 yak.
My yeah, my course
Drake
like
doesn't
a,
have that.
He's got over.
Exactly.
When that violin comes in, you kidding?
Damn, we were making some good points in that video. Hey guys, Aaron and Nerd Suit Monkey here. Before we end this video, I want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon supporters. What can I say about you guys that I haven't already said about myself? You are the most important part of the channel and the main reason we keep going strong. Like Bo says, you keep the lights on in the fridge, so the fridge is full. Or something like that. So, from everyone here at Nerd Soup, I'd like to thank you guys for your continued support. If you're interested in joining the ranks of our patron supporters, head over to patreon.com/nerdsoup and check out the rewards we offer to our patrons. We recently dropped some new stickers for you guys to check out, or you could choose a tier that will allow you to select a movie, show, or video game for us to review. We've got a full slate of fan-suggested reviews coming your way, and we're really excited about the chance to review some of those movies and shows. We've also got t-shirts, mugs, behind-the-scenes videos showing how we bring our videos to life. And once again, thank you to all our Patreon pledgers who have been supporting us throughout the years. Without you, we wouldn't be able to convert all your pledges into cryptocurrency, so thank you from my future self for making us rich.